This is Digital Story Podcast number 832, March 1st, 2022. Today's theme is My Favorite Tiny Lenses. I'm Derek Story. A compact sensor doesn't make much sense unless you have a few great pancake lenses to go with it. After all, that's where the nimbulosity comes in, with the glass. Today, I'm going to share five of my favorite tiny lenses. These are the optics that lighten my load without compromising quality. I hope you enjoy the show. So, even though I ordered the new OM System Digital ED 12 to 40mm F2.8 Pro 2 lens at $999, actually I got it in the bundle for, $699 or something like that, to go with the new OM1, it's going to be used primarily for my professional work, inclement weather, landscape, things of that nature. When I'm just banging around, I'll have the incredible Olympus Digital ED 14 to 42 EZ pancake lens on that camera. Now, right away, you may be going, okay, Derek, my mind is blown. Why would you buy a state-of-the-art flagship camera, professional quality camera, and put a $299 lens on it and walk around and take pictures? Why would you do that? Well, there are many reasons why I would do that. One of those reasons is that when I put that little lens on there, that little pancake lens, that camera, that professional camera, that crazy camera that has, you know, everything built into it that a guy could want, I tell you, fits in my jacket pocket. It fits in my jacket pocket. I can just slide it right in there and walk around and not have a problem at all. That lens, that little 14 to 42 millimeter pancake lens, barely comes out beyond the grip. In fact, I haven't seen the grip for the OM1 yet, and maybe it doesn't even reach that far. Now, of course, when you turn it on, then, you know, the lens expands and does all sorts of Mr. Robot kind of things, right? I'm talking about when I'm walking around with this camera in my pocket, that lens and that grip come out about the same distance, which means I'm basically carrying a camera body around. But when I'm carrying that camera body around, I have the equivalent reach of 28 millimeters on the wide end to 84 millimeters on the telephoto lens. And if I use digital 2X, which I think is astonishing, then I have 168 millimeters on the long end. In this little lens that doesn't extend beyond the grip. That's pretty crazy. I wrote about in my latest Medium article a moment where I met an Olympus lens designer in Austin, Texas, and he was there showing off some of the new f1.2 prime lenses that were getting ready to be released at that time. And he was very, very proud of these lenses, and they are amazing. I have them. I have the 45, I have the 17, and yes, I have the 25 millimeter f1.2 Pro lens. And I was, you know, listening to him and everything. And during his talk, he mentioned that he was also the designer of the 14 to 42 EZ pancake lens. And I'm going, oh my God, you know, I want to come up and shake your hand. You know, in fact, I even raised my hand when we could talk and commented, and I said, I just want to thank you for making that lens. It is an engineering marvel. And he smiled, even though he was focused on these professional lenses at that moment. That's what he was there to do. You could see the little twinkle in his eye with this 14 to 42, this wonderful little jewel that he created. Now, I'm not the only person that likes this lens. I can tell you that right now. And one of the things that got this all started, you know, got this rolling, you know how it is. I'm walking around during the week and I'm going, okay, what am I going to do next podcast about? What's happening? What's in the news? What's going on? I read every morning and, well, every night too. And I came across this article in Digital Camera World, and it was titled Olympus 14 to 42 f3.5 to 5.6 Easy Review. The best pancake zoom lens ever! Exclamation mark, ever. In their verdict, where they gave this lens 5 stars, they did a whole review, there's little videos and everything. They said, the Olympus 14 to 42 f3.5 to 5.6 Easy is, in our opinion, the best pancake lens ever. In full frame terms, it covers a 28 to 84 millimeter focal length range in an impossibly small form factor. Not only is this a genuine feat of engineering, but its optical performance punches way above its weight. This is the kind of lens that's only possible on Micro Four Thirds, making it an absolute travel and everyday essential for Olympus / OM System and Panasonic shooters. I couldn't have said it better. I really could not. So when I have that lens on my Pen F, or my OMD EM10, or my soon to have in my possession OM1, I have a sophisticated camera. I have a great image capture machine with an impossibly small 28 to 84 millimeter zoom on there. And it fits, as I said before, in my jacket pocket. It fits in my Peak field pouch that takes up no room, that I can hide under my jacket if I want to put my hands in my pockets, for example. Isn't this why we shoot Micro Four Thirds? Is to have this kind of capability in this size of a package. So as you've probably figured out by now, this is the first of 5 lenses that I'm going to mention in my favorite tiny lenses. This is definitely at the top of the list. If you're a Micro Four Thirds shooter and you don't have this lens, I recommend that you get it. And in our infrared workshop, which I'm going to talk about because we got another one coming up, we've done a few already, this lens performs very well on IR converted cameras. It does a great job. One last thing on this lens before we get to the next batch is that they make a little automatic lens cover for it. Get it. It's, I forget how much it is. I don't know, $30 maybe, something like that. And what happens is you put this on, and so when the lens is compact, right, when the camera's off, it covers the glass. And then when you turn on the camera and the lens extends, it opens. It opens and you can take pictures. So you have an automatic lens hood. So not only do you have a super cool lens that allows you to respond quickly, street photography, things like that, you have a super cool lens cover to go with it. It's really nice. If you have the lens, get the lens cover. It's the bomb. All right. But wait, there's more. We have more. I have 4 more lenses here. The next one is also near and dear to my heart. I love all 4 of these lenses. We have a Panasonic, we have a Nikon, we have a Fuji, and we have a Pentax. We have 4 more lenses. Let's start with the Panasonic. You guys know that I love this lens, the Panasonic Lumix G 20mm f1.72, get the second edition, a spherical lens, all right? This lens will cost you $267. $267. It's on sale right now, $30 off if you click on the link that I have in the show notes. Here's what they say. Characterized by its slender profile. Ooh, I like that, slender profile. The Lumix G 20mm f1.7 is a compact, slightly wide 40mm equivalent prime for Micro Four Thirds mirrorless cameras. Its bright f1.7 maximum aperture offers notable control focus for working with shallow depth of field techniques and also benefits working in difficult lighting conditions. The optical design incorporates a pair of spherical elements to suppress spherical aberrations and distortions for high sharpness and accurate rendering. And individual elements have been multi-coated to control surface reflections and flare for improved contrast in strong lighting conditions. This lens is a gem. So you think about it. Let's say you're a Micro Four Thirds shooter. I know a few of you are out there. So you have the 14 to 42 easy. So you got your zoomer, right? And that's f 3.5 to 5.6. So when you have zoomed out, it's f 5.6. All right. So you've got a nice, versatile, outdoors, hanging around, doing stuff, a zoom lens, pancake. And then you have this for your low light or when you want to kind of soften the background a bit more. Same size, virtually the same size as the other lens, but now you have an f1.7, 40 millimeter f1.7. That is a terrific lens. So, you're carrying around two cookies in a camera body, honestly, okay? So that one is the next one, the Panasonic Lumix G 20 millimeter f1.7 spherical lens. By the way, if you want to buy any of these lenses, if you start with the links in the show notes, I would really appreciate it. They're affiliate links. And okay, here we go. Next one, the Nikon Z 28 millimeter f2.8 and the SE edition of this lens. The SE edition will cost you a bit more, $296. You can get just the regular one that looks like a boring lens. Still great optics, but not nearly as interesting for, I believe, $256, something like that. Somewhere in there, $266. So this one costs you about $30 more. I think the SE edition is the one that most of us will want. Let me read you what they say about it. The Nikkor 28mm f2.8 SE from Nikon is an ultra-compact and lightweight FX format prime lens with a traditional Nikon heritage design. And this is a part is really, really handsome lens. The special edition lens inherits its design from the classic Nikkor lenses released around the same time as the Nikon FM2 film SLR camera, with features that faithfully reproduce the design of the time, such as knurling and a prominent control ring. With f2.8 max aperture, this fast, bright lens offers beautiful details at a standard focal length. Complementing the optical design, a multifocus system which employs two stepping motors helps to realize impressively fast, accurate, and quiet focus performance along with full-time manual focus override. You've got to have that on this lens, right? To suit both stills and video needs. Additionally, a programmable control ring can be set for intuitive adjustment over a variety of camera and exposure settings. It makes for a great carry-around lens for spontaneous moments at any time of day. So I got to test this lens for a month a while back when it first came out. And I like the lens so much that I wanted to buy a Nikon Z. Now, I like the Nikon Zs anyway, but again, to my earlier point, a guy can only have so many cameras, right? And so it just was, I knew the OM was coming out, you know, up the road and all that stuff. And I go, don't do it. Don't go down this path. So I didn't. So I ended up having to send the 28 millimeter SE back, but I did not want to. It is a wonderful lens. It is sharp. It is colorful. It's good looking. It's super compact. And if you're using one of the compact Nikon mirrorless cameras, again, this lens does not come out much beyond that grip. So if the camera body fits somewhere, the camera body with this lens on it will probably fit in that same place. The reviews on it have been terrific. I like it. If I shot Nikon Z, this would be one of the first lenses I would buy. $296, get the SE edition. It just looks cooler, all right? All right, next one. So this one's a bit of a, okay, there's a thing here, okay? There's a thing here. So I love the lens, but it comes with a camera attached to it, all right? I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's the Fujinon Super EBS 23mm F2 Mark II lens. Now, at $1,399, it comes with the Fujifilm X100V camera attached to it. Even though I can't separate this lens from the camera physically, I just have to tell you, I love this lens regardless of the camera that it's attached to. Let me read you what they say. An updated Fujinon 23mm f2 lens features a revised optical design that now includes two as spherical elements for improved sharpness and clarity through the reduction of spherical aberrations and distortion. The lens 23mm focal length is equivalent to 35mm, making it a comfortable wide-angle prime that is well-suited for a variety of shooting situations. The bright F2 design also suits working in various lighting conditions and affords greater control over depth of field to help isolate focus on subjects. And let me just tell you one thing about that. If I have any issue with this lens at all, is that when I shoot wide open with it, I sometimes don't have enough depth of field. It falls short of what I want. Here I'm thinking I'm just going to drop out the background and I end up dropping out part of the subject. So even though it's a 35mm equivalent focal length, you shoot wide open with this lens, you have a lot of control over what happens with the depth of field. And my biggest issue is I have to learn to stop down to f4 or 5.6 with it so that I can keep my subjects completely in focus. Additionally, a super EBC coating has been applied to suppress lens flare and ghosting for greater contrast and color fidelity when working in strong lighting conditions. It does great. I do have a lens hood for it. I have the lens hood on a lot of the time, but if I forget it or whatever, I haven't had problems shooting in bright conditions without the lens hood. This lens is wonderful. You can focus close with it. You have a lot of control over depth of field. It's bright. The images just have this wonderful film-like Fuji quality to them that are just fantastic. Now, I know you have to buy the rest of the camera to get this particular lens. I would almost say that it's worth it because carrying around the X100V is a joy unto itself. I love this lens. Fujifilm makes a couple other pancake lenses for their X series, and they are terrific as well. This, though, is my favorite Fuji lens right now. And the last lens on this list, the Pentax DA 70mm f2.4 limited lens at $496. Now, I know there aren't a ton of Pentax shooters out there. However, those of you that shoot Pentax, and especially if you shoot the APS-C Pentax, this lens is a must. This lens is the reason why I will never sell my Pentax KP DSLR just to be able to keep using this lens. I like it that much. It is a wonderful, it's a 105 equivalent. So f2.4, 105. The images just make me look so much better than I really am at photography. Honestly, it's one of those lenses. Here's what they say. The Black HD Pentax DA 70mm f2.4 limited lens for Pentax is a prime portrait length lens providing a 35mm equivalent focal length of 105mm. This short telephoto 23 degree angle of view is well suited for portrait and landscape shooting as well as general long lens applications. A high grade multi-layer HD coating has been applied to the lens elements to help minimize flare and ghosting for enhanced contrast clarity and color fidelity. And a 9-blade diaphragm contributes to an aesthetic out-of-focus quality to benefit shallow depth of field imagery. And oh man, the background's beautiful with this lens. Additionally, an SP Protect coating has been applied to the front of the lens element to effectively protect it from dirt, oil, and fingerprints. It is compact. It is super compact. And it even comes with one of those built-in lens hoods, you know, that just slide out. Oh, so adorable. I mean, it's so cute. It's got a terrific lens cap on it. You know, one of those nice metal goes over the whole front part of the barrel kind of lens cap. This lens, when I shoot it for my PR work, especially where I'm shooting, you know, human interactions, which the PR department wants, you know, those kind of shots they want, people interacting with other people. Such a perfect lens. I have a comfortable working distance. I can get nice and tight, and the images are astonishing. If you shoot Pentax APS-C sensor cameras, you've got to try this lens. It is a gem. Alrighty, so those are my five favorites right there. Once again, the Olympus 14-42 EZ Pancake Zoom Lens, Panasonic Lumix G 20mm f1.7, Nikon Z 28mm f2.8, the SE model, the Fujinon Super EBS 23mm f2 Mark II lens that's attached to an X100V, and the Pentax DA 70mm f2.4. Tiny optics that take big pictures. I love every one of them. Panasonic plans to continue support Micro Four Thirds lineup. Alrighty, this is an article that I got from Petapixel. I have the link to it in show notes. Let me read you what they say here. I liked this article. During an online event called Creators Live with the Lumix GH6, Panasonic indicated that it plans to continue to support a wide range of Micro Four Thirds cameras and not restrict its development just to high-end products. Spotted by DC Life and 43 Rumors, the company's marketing manager seems to commit to bringing new versions of cameras from across Panasonic's lineup. A Panasonic representative told Petapixel, as popular as full-frame cameras are and has developed full-frame cameras as a response to that demand, there are certain things that the company can do with Micro Four Thirds that are not possible with larger sensors, at least not yet. These include specific metrics on pricing and performance that Panasonic's leadership thinks are important and have put at the forefront of its development cycle for many years. While the photography community tends to belittle or downplay Micro Four Thirds, not this community, Panasonic regularly assures fans of the format that it has no plans to abandon the system. All right. In fact, they even said it has no plans to ever abandon the system. Nice little note there. And, you know, we want Panasonic. We want OM system. I wouldn't mind having a third entry, but we need those two. Panasonic makes cameras that are very different than OM system. You know, depending on what kind of shooter you are, one of those two brands will probably be right for you, and we want them both. And I'm happy to read this and see these words from Panasonic. I want to talk about an online workshop that we have coming up in May, and it's the Infrared Photography Workshop. And in fact, the next two online workshops we have coming up are two of my favorites. We have IR in May, and then we have Ultimate Black and White in August. Now, we're already getting signups for these because we have them on our workshops page at thenimblephotographer.com. But I just want to talk a little bit about the IR workshop right now because it's very interesting, and especially when we start coming into the time of year where it's bright outside, the sun's up high, we have long days, the sweet light sometimes isn't at a convenient time. It's amazing the things that you can do with IR photography any time of day, but especially during the bright, intense times of days that makes regular photography, visible light photography, so much more difficult. And IR just eats it up. It just shines. And the other thing that I really like about it is that there are so many different ways to go with IR photography. You can go into some serious black and white work. You can go to crazy color work, or you can go to color work that just has this kind of neat film look to it. I mean, there's just a lot of different things, and you have a lot of options. And in this workshop, we help you find the palette that best suits you. And then, you know, we give you the techniques. We show you the techniques so that by the end of the workshop, you know from beginning to end, you know, what to do to create these kinds of images. And it's just a lot of fun. During the summer months in particular, I have infrared cameras with me. I like my converted OM-D EM10 Mark III as a great infrared camera, and I can still use all my lenses. That's coming up in May 2022, May of this year, the IR Photography Workshop. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, and it really shakes up your work. Acknowledging our friends at Skylum, MacPaw, and the sovereign nation of Ukraine. By now, I'm sure you know what's going on in Ukraine. They are basically fighting for their life there. They're being invaded by Russia, and I'm very concerned for them, and I know what kind of people they are. So I just wanted to share some thoughts from some of these people that I know. I worked with Skylum for 2 years, I think. I met their team. I met, you know, the people in leadership. I met their children. Their children would come over with them when they traveled. And to think of what they're going through right now is very difficult. I'm going to read you a couple things from LinkedIn here. So recently, the Skylum CEO, Ivan, he posted this on LinkedIn. Friends, partners, and loyal Skylum friends, I need to inform you that Russian forces invaded Ukraine by land, air, and sea, confirming the worst fears we've had. As many of you know, our development and core center is based in Kiev, and at this strange time, we cannot guarantee on-time support, request answers, and timing of updates to Luminar Neo. We strive for excellence in everything we do and make sure to further develop and improve Neo, and we will keep you updated on any news. In these scary times, what you can do is share this post to spread more word about what is happening in Ukraine right now so that your local governments can impose sanctions on Russia and support Ukraine with defense weapons. You can also support the Ukrainian army by donating to the Come Back Home Alive Fund, and I have a link to that, or to the National Bank of Ukraine fundraising account, and I have a link to that as well. So our friends at Skylum, they are based in Kiev, and that city, as I'm saying this right now, is under serious attack, and I just saw more and more Russian troops coming in to surround that city. They're reinforcing because they're having a hard time taking it right now. His final words are, stay safe there and pray for Ukraine. And then I have a friend, Julia, and originally I met her when she was working with MacPaw, and she has gone on to a different job, but I still follow her. And when she was working with MacPaw and she would come over for Macworld and things like that, we would get together. We would get together, and she was a very, very kind person, very kind to me. I remember the first time that we met, we had spent, I don't know, many months corresponding, working together on projects and so forth. And so when she came over for Macworld, and we actually got a chance to meet, and she brought me gifts from Ukraine. She brought me chocolate and little soaps and things. I mean, just like super thoughtful. And I was taken aback by here. This is just a business relationship, like so many business relationships I have. But in her professional mind, you know, this is the way that she and her company does business. And it just made a big impression on me. It really did. The meeting went well. And I loved working with her and MacPaw. She has a family, a husband, a little girl. And she posted this on LinkedIn, and it really took me back. Every morning I wake up in fear in a bomb shelter, though I could hardly call that state asleep. The first thing we do is check how our relatives are doing in other parts of Ukraine. Russia invaded Ukraine, bombing the territory of a sovereign state. No tears left, no mercy for the enemy. We will win. She also, in other posts, have talked about, you know, how do you explain what's going on to your daughter who knows that something terrible is happening and who is also afraid? Anyway, this is difficult. Again, these are people I know. These are people I've spent time with, people that I've worked with. There are all sorts of ways that people can help other people. And if this is something that is important to you as well, if you know people in Ukraine or just feel that this is a terrible injustice, do what you do. You know, some people do affirmations. Some people pray. Some people send money. Some people offer services. Whatever your thing is, this is one of the most important things that I have seen, and we have seen a lot of stuff in the last couple of years. But to me, the nation of Ukraine is somewhere special. They are showing tremendous fight right now. And after having met a number of people from Ukraine, I can understand that fight. And this community has friends there, and I support those friends, and I'm very concerned about them. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news here. Big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community month in and month out, not only with their finances, $5 a month, but also with their opinions and their thoughts about the direction that we should be going. I'm very thankful to have our Inner Circle members. And if you're interested in joining this elite group, then just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look around, and if you see what you like, come on board. This is a great group of people, and we're all lucky to have them. And finally, a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. These are the folks that bring printing to life, at least for me. I told you that I'm working on remodeling one of the rooms here at the studio. It's a room, in addition to many things, is a really a jack-of-all-purposes room, but it was also the printing room. And I had Red River Paper just kind of scattered all over the room. And so what I'm doing now is just thinning out this room, getting it organized, you know, making it sane, in all honesty. And so I have all the Red River Paper organized now on a shelf inside the closet in that room. And it's just amazing as I look at all the different surfaces and sizes and, you know, just all the neat things. And it just made me want to stop cleaning and start printing, which I've done a little bit of that this week as well. If you want to get your printing mojo going, the best way to start is to click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. They also have a Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Might want to go over there and take a look at, see what's going on. And a big thanks to them for supporting this podcast and for supporting the entire inkjet printing community. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Tiny lenses are big fun. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.